Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to a special weekend edition of the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast. Today you'll hear an exclusive conversation between actor and musician Ice-T and the drummer of his band Body Count, Will Dorsey Jr., who also sat in with the HE band all week. Then you'll hear Seth's interview with Ice-T. Now let's get to the show.
All right, so hey, it's Eric Lederman here, producer of Late Night with Seth Meyers. We're backstage with Ice-T, who's on the show tonight. And our drummer this week is Will Dorsey Jr. Of Body Count. Of course, Ice brought Will into Body Count. How long ago did Will join the band?
Will, you know exactly. How long have you been in it?
I've been in since 2009. That's when I officially joined the band.
Right. Yeah. So, and you know, it was like one of those things. You know, we had our original drummer was Beatmaster V, went to high school with me and everything, and we lost him to leukemia. And you know, the band was made up of childhood friends, so it was kind of difficult to bring somebody in. Then we had another guy we used to call OT, named Otis, and he came in and he played for a while. And he said, you know what, Ice, I'm going to quit the band. I'm going to go be an attorney. I said, I can't really argue with that. You know, be a drummer in a band or go be an attorney.
That's every mother's dream to hear that.
Right, yeah. I think you should pursue your dreams with the attorney thing.
Get out of here.
And so, you know... You know, Ernie and them would just, you know, I just say, you know, we need a drummer. We need somebody that fits, you know, our vibe, you know, and we need somebody we get along with because we're a band that kicks it together. We chill. We just, it was very important. You know, Will knows now after being in the band all these years how important that is. We have to get along because we're not making any money.
There you go.
So, you know, and I showed up at one rehearsal, and Will was in there, and he was playing all the songs. Good. So who exactly brought you in, Vince?
Vince brought me in, but you should know, like, how nervous I was in front of you, because all I could hear when you first got to that spot, it's like all I could hear is just your voice. And I haven't met you yet, you know, at that time. And it's just like, oh, man.
So what happened, like, when you get... You just got called in for an audition. You had to learn how many tunes?
I tried to learn the whole first album. Yeah. So that's what I was trying to do and going that way. But during that rehearsal, he called another number of another song. I didn't know the song.
From a later record?
It was off of Judgment Night.
Right.
Oh, which is...
Who's the collaboration?
Slayer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Slayer. So it's a three-song medley of... Slayer, which is exploited songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real punk. It's real fast. It's about the fastest thing we play.
Right.
Right. So, you know, but I'm not there to, my thing is this, in the band, I'm in control of, I have my hands full, which is the lyrics. I don't really badger any of the band members because I can't play any instruments. I can't play the guitar. I can hum it. I can try it, but people say, well, Ice, you write the songs. I'm like, but I'm in there humming and I kind of like, I don't so much write them as arrange them. They write all this different music and I say, put that here, put that there. This is when I'm going to sing. This is what... But these guys are so good, you know, and it's just amazing how you know, we're able. You've done two albums with us. Yeah, we did our best new albums. We did Manslaughter together, and now Bloodlust, which people say is our best record.
It's a killer record. I want to talk also about the cover you guys did. It was really cool. And as a challenge for a drummer to come in and do a cover, and obviously, it's Rain and Blood by Slayer.
Right.
Ice knew the tune really well. I remember last time we talked about how much you love that tune, and then Will to come in and play that tune. How is that experience as far as you directing for you, Will, also like playing it like Dave Lombardo plays it and playing someone else's part? And then for you, Ice, wanting to make it an original Body Count tune, like how was that process?
Well, the thing about Body Count is we love to pay homage, you know, like in the video pre that we speak on Black Sabbath, we speak on Suicidal. We're not a band that's going to take something from somebody and then pretend like we invented it. You know, when we came out, Suicidal already had kids running around with blue bandanas on, and they had the ST thing. And when Body Count first came out, half our audience was Suicidal kids. They just migrated to us. Right. So they were like the OGs of LA, I guess you would say the hardcore gangster.
This is like metal. Early 90s, right?
Yeah, punk, you know, Mike Muir and all them, they set it off. And then we came, we just did it with a bunch of black guys. Right. But then we always had that impending doom of Black Sabbath. When you listen to There Goes the Neighborhood, that's Black Sabbath.
You guys were much, much darker.
Right.
Darker
okay.
Man.
So then you got the craziness and the odd punk style of Suicidal. But then Slayer is the speed and the precision. That's when you stop on a dime and you turn and you go fast in this direction and you stop. And that's where the drummer comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm always on the guitar players like, yo, you gotta be tight. We gotta be tight. We gotta be tight. But we just picked the song. It was like that was just a dope song. It was easy. I won't say it was easy for us to play, but it's the one we wanted to add to our set. It felt right. It could play right along with us. And I just tell them that's the song. We're going to play that song. I don't ask them, can they play the song? Because these guys are all professionals.
Right.
And they just knocked that out. Let's not take anything away from Will Putney.
Right. Oh, Will Putney was a huge help on this, on both of these records.
Our producer.
Yeah, yeah, he's amazing. And everything that guy touches in metal sounds incredible.
Yeah.
And I remember when you played me Rain and Blood and like you're closing your eyes and you're hearing it and we were just listening on like an iPhone speaker. And I think it's especially now when music is everywhere and you can hear it in your phone, on some dinky player. It doesn't do it justice necessarily, but I know it's a little nerdy, but when you hear Putney's stuff, it even out of like this little iPhone speaker, mm-hmm. it sounded really good and really killer. You guys did an amazing job.
If you're
job
a band
track.
Out there
awesome.
and you are, you know, and you're really trying to make a record and you have action at getting at Will Putney, mm-hmm. at least go check him out as far as producing your record. I mean, he does incredible work. He's a very cool guy. And to me, I call him like the Dr. Dre of metal because he makes every band sound like them. Like, you know, he does Upon a Burning Body. Well, they sound like Upon a Burning Body. He doesn't make Body Count sound like them.
Right.
So he really makes the band the best it can be. And he's easy to work with in the studio. You know, a lot of times you work with a producer, you want to them up. You're sitting there like, dude, just the way you're talking to me, it's not.
Well, because they want you to also adhere to their vision. And then a lot of producers burn out like that because all those bands, especially in metal, end up sounding kind of the same.
Yeah.
But your comment is totally accurate where it's like, if you listen to like Gojira, if you listen to Body Count, between even the last two records, there's a big difference in just how monstrous the band sound. But it just sounds like, wait, who did it? It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Perfect sense to put me to the record.
It's very important because with live music, you know, hearing all the music, putting that voice in the pocket to where you can turn it up loud and the vocal doesn't scream your head off and you play it low, it's a real trick. I don't know how he does it. I know how to mix hip hop. I don't know how he mixes this stuff. He mixes it real low in his headphones, but it always just comes through the speakers crazy. So our hats go off to Will Putney. Now, what was the experience? What was it like doing drums with him? I wasn't there.
Okay. So doing drums with him, you know, he wants specific parts. Especially, let's go back to Rain and Blood, you know, especially on that, because we were really picky on that song because there's, you know, there's new versions of it. There's, you know, other people doing it, you know, that's in, you know, Slayer right now.
That is the tune that most people cover Slayer. They do that tune.
So they're going to listen to that tune. So we were going back to, you know, when they first did it. So we're going back to that. I was used to seeing Dave Lombardo going on more recent, you know, when he was in the band. So we had to pick and choose, okay, which version we were actually going to do and play, because sometimes he'll play the ride on this section or he'll do the hats on this section, you know. So we had to really pick out, okay, let's do both and try to see how close we can get to the real version of it.
And that goes back to paying homage to these bands and playing like the exact parts that they played.
Yeah, well, what I did as far as like even vocally, I just knew the words and I just sung it the way it sounded in my head from memory. Like, you know, Tommy screams on some of them and stuff like that, but I kind of like, I wasn't going note for note. I was like, if like if I told you to sing Rain and Blood, that's how you would sing it. Well, they said, yo, Ice, I knew the words and I just, you know, and it came off dope, you know, because I added my energy and the parts I'd like, you know. I love the part of when you say bodies hanging and whoop-de-whoop. Oh.
It's a lovely visual. It really is. Fondly, I think of that part.
Yeah.
Good.
What's the part? I forget. I can't think of it off key, but he's talking about
it. It's horrible. It's a horrible thing to remember.
Well, he's thinking about people that have f***ed over him, and now they're hanging above, bodies bleeding. It was fun. It was fun. And then Vince came back and did Postmortem. And Vince was like, I got an idea. We're going to put Postmortem after Rain and Blood. It's backwards. And he said, but it'll kill in the show. And da 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 da. And you know, before we even decided,
you closed the show with it, right?
We opened the show with it.
Jesus. Yeah.
So when we
coming in hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So right. We have our little intro, and we would just walk on stage and be boom 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 da da da, and the audience was like, "What the hell are they doing?" But it ignites the pit right out the gate.
Mm-hmm. So important, especially if you guys are doing like, if you're not doing like, you know, a headliner set, you got 30, 40 minutes to win over a metal crowd.
Right.
Do you guys still find being a black metal band when you go out there and you see these crowds and you come out and the look on their face when you guys come out?
No.
Do you think that the crowds still, even in 2017, don't really know what to expect?
No.
Or they have that kind of vibe?
No, they know now.
They do know.
It's been 20 years.
It's not 91.
Right.
It's been 20 years. We got old body count fans. Like usually when I say how many people have seen a show, it'll be equal amount of people that haven't seen a show. There's kids there. Their father's like, mother. Going to see this body count show. We're going to show you some real hard ass. Right. But no, it's.
So tell me the difference between a 1991 crowd and like a 2017 crowd.
First tour we went out on, we went out, this before Will, we went out with DRI and Exodus.
Is this pre Lollapalooza?
Yes.
It is, right? Okay.
DRI and Exodus.
Jeez.
Going up and down the really? West Coast. And, you know, we showed up. We were in Santa Barbara and it was all skinheads. And we were in there, and I was like, okay, you know, like that. And they didn't know what to expect. And that's when we used to put the yellow tape across the front. And we came out, and we started going, and they would f*** us, and they were throwing fingers and shit like that. By about the third song, we had a mosh pit. And I'm like, okay, we must be decent, you know, because they started spinning and doing their shit. Now they weren't paying attention to us anymore. And, you know, I mean, that's what I was getting. The guys from Exodus and the guys from DRI was like, just simply go out there and kick ass.
That's right.
That's all you do. Just kick ass. Who's out? They're gonna, you know. And we, that was always been our philosophy. Just go and play as hard and as fast and as good as we can. And one thing I bring from hip hop is I'm pretty good at dealing with audiences.
Right.
And you know, an MC is a mic controller, an MC. So that's one thing that I notice with a lot of metal bands. They don't talk to the audience. And also like, where people like Anthrax and even Metallica, Search and Destroy, people might sing parts. With Body Count, almost every song is sing along.
Right.
So I kind of, we write them for that yell back part, and they
call
go.
Call response
with it.
Is super important.
And also,
we bring those crowd people in.
And also, we do hip hop drops, which is we drop songs in on words. Mm. You know, so like with rappers, we go, you know what that means? You know, like that. So that's how we drop our songs in. They come in. Like I got the favorite one I do now is To Talk Get Shot, where I pick a kid out of the audience and I like, you know, I'm your new uncle. Do you ever get bullied and stuff? I said, well, look, little kid, if anybody ever messes with you, just look them in the face and say, talk get shot.
Oh,
and
so he drops. Great.
But he's on cue and he drops right on that.
That's
and
the way
it works.
It's got to be. And then that kid goes home and is like, hey, how was the body count show? It's like, let me tell you. Ice-T gave me some great advice. Just want to share it with you. I had a couple other questions just about drums in general and how you guys work together. And you, is the main communication in the band when you're on stage, like, is Will doing all the cues? Are you basically controlling everything? Like,
I control when the song starts.
Right.
And I control when the song ends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm controlling it pretty much. He's playing, but he keeps an eye on me. Like, I can cut songs in the middle. I can say last verse. It's so much pandemonium going on. And when the guitar players are out near the front of the stage, I can just walk to the back of the stage and, like, almost talk to him.
So now the next question is important. What do you prefer? Obviously, you like both worlds. But what do you prefer? You know, you got a track behind you, and it's just you up there. You're doing solo stuff. And then you got all these other moving parts, these variables of guys playing instruments behind you. Which, is there one you prefer? Like, do you like the idea, like, that there are guys behind you? There is human air. There is, like, what's the difference for you? 'Cause I'm sure that you love both. It's just a question of
it's hard to
what
pick because with a hype crowd, I mean, hip hop is more like Frank Sinatra. It's just one man, one mic,
right.
And you're just out there and you're just a vocalist and you're doing it. If your DJ is on point, I wish my DJ was as good as Will.
Mm-hmm.
I usually say the right word and I look for my DJ. He's back there drinking somewhere and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, the song was supposed to start right there. I've jumped 3 feet in the air, landed, and no music came on.
It's that primal thing, though. Will's got, you know, he's got a stick.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing. And, you know, if someone's drinking, I suppose it's another,
I think the difference,
variable.
I like not having all the attention on me, a body count. Mm-hmm. I like when in a rock audience, the drummer fans are fans of Will. The lead guitar fans are watching them all day. The bass player has their own fans. I always tell them guys, I'm like, you guys are your own stars to your the audience.
Let's be honest, the bass players don't have fans. No one cares about the bass players.
Don't tell him that.
Lemmy, don't tell Lemmy that.
Keyboards, bass players, it's like, all right, thanks for coming out.
Doesn't
guys.
Tommy play bass too from Slayer?
Yeah,
Lemmy, come on.
No, you're right. No, you guys are right. When they're singing, it's like, oh, cool, the bass player's here. Anyway, so.
Yeah, but I like it being split up. Yeah. I like when they do interviews. I'm not the guy that wants to be, you know.
Would you ever consider splitting your show again like you did back in the day and doing half Ice-T, half Body Count?
I could do
That's just a nerdy fan question.
I could do it. It's just one time we did it twice. We did Ice-T, Body Count, Ice-T, Body Count. Yeah. That was nice.
Oh, back to back?
Yeah, we did it twice. Because we played the small venue, what's Prince's Club?
Is it? It's in Minnesota?
Yeah. First Avenue.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jay.
So it was a small venue, so we had to do it twice to get all the tickets in. And that was hard. I mean, hip-hop's easier. Hip-hop, you're kind of like, you can hold a drink, and I'm just being fly, and I'm talking it. So and great. Body Count is more aggressive. So
yeah, after a hip-hop show, you're less, you know, you could go out. You're going to be thrashed, I think, physically.
Yeah, Body Count burns you out. I lose weight doing Body Count. It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind doing it. I don't know. I mean, right now, we're just having fun. We like playing festivals. We really like getting in front of audiences that aren't all our audience. Because when you do your own tour, you're only getting your own fans. They're there. They're already your fans. When you're in festivals, you might get a new fan. You might earn somebody. So it's... What do you think about it?
Me personally, you just get their respect on, you know, like, new fans, you know, coming out to shows. Because they think, I was like, oh, you know, Body Count, you know, they don't want to see us. But as soon as they see us, they decide to change their mind.
Right.
You know, because we got to play in front of them. You know, we got to prove
to
them.
I do love that about festivals.
You know?
And if, like, you end up as a fan, you're like, ugh, I don't want to go to the other stage. I'll just watch this band. And then you end up getting converted.
I think the coolest thing about Body Count fans is by us being a black rock band. And, you know, you see the white kids out there and the black kids, but mostly the white kids. I know they had people talk to them about being fans.
Yeah.
And I know that they stood their ground and they're like, F you. Mm-hmm. I'm a Body Count fan. And I really respect them. And, like, Will will tell you, they don't care. I mean, they do care who's in the band, but they just want the band alive. So it's kind of like, they're like, thank you, Will. Like, somebody, thank you. They just want people to keep playing Body Count music. So they don't care. They're just like, yo, you knew?
Wow, I'm your...
that. I'm getting you tatted right now. He's like, I'm not that new. Don't tattoo me on your face.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of Ice-T tattoos. Will, have you seen your face on anyone yet?
No.
Well, you're gonna get there, dude.
I'm not that kind of dude.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna be a Will Dorsey Jr. tattoo.
Nice,
some weirdo.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I mean, it could happen. I kind of want to wrap it up and let you guys get going, but I just want to thank you for your time. Ice, yeah. It was super appreciative of you being here. And Will, I just want to say this is so cool that we worked it out that Ice
why
is here
back
and Will's here.
Story with Will.
Which one? Oh, so. Oh. Well, I'll just say, so Will and I, when I was a professional drummer, trying to be a professional drummer and sometimes succeeding, Will worked at the Guitar Center in Sherman Oaks. And every time I lived up in Studio City, so I would go there a lot, especially when I was freelance. So I had a lot of time in my hands. But Will and I always hung out. And there's so many of these guys, there's a high turnover at like Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of musicians who don't work and they end up like, you know, getting a gig or they end up getting like, they just get sick of it. But Will was one of those guys who was there and consistent because, you know, look, it's a grind to work retail. But when you go in and someone is pleasant and respectful and knows about gear and is helpful and not just trying to like take you for a buck, it's like, you know, it's a bit of a car salesman job. You got like, oh, you got to try this, got to try that. To actually have someone who knew about the gear and cared about the products. And Will was that guy for me for a bunch of years.
Yeah,
and there's a couple other dudes at that place who are like that. And it was so great. Last time Ice was on the show, we talked about Will because I'm like, well, I got to come talk to you because that was our icebreaker. And I'm like, hey, man, Will is like one of the good ones. He's a great player. It's so good that one of the good guys got a gig. It's a consistent gig. I mean, you guys should be touring all the time, but you know. It's, but it was really special for me to have the privilege of booking these sit-ins and having like Seth be really into it and the show be responsive to it. To have someone who's a great player, a good person, and in a great band, and it all came together. Like, this is real full circle for me selfishly. But to have this guy this week with you on the show is a testament to like sometimes things work out for the good ones. And I just hope we do more of it, and I hope that the band keeps kicking it.
Well, you know, Will, Vince, Juan, all them, those are the least problem with the group. We only got Ernie C. He's a superstar.
He's the man.
But Ernie has really done a 180-degree turn. He's down in pocket. He's in the gym. You know, he went through his little session with alcohol and stuff, did his rock star moment.
Rite of passage, baby.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
The band is like so like... together, it's so simple and it's really fun again just to be out with them and stuff. You know, they don't need a lot of, we just go out and do what we do. So tonight you're going to see him do what he does.
Can't wait. All week?
All week.
You're going to come out there and your drummer's going to be manning the house.
We're going to be excited. I got to tape this all week. We'll see if he hits his cues.
That'll be great. Oh, don't worry. I'll be there.
No, yeah,
I'll be,
no,
I got a microphone. And I'm like, that was like a 7 out of 10. Cool. And uh-huh. He's up there like.
So he's nerve wracking.
You're going to be great. We're going to let you get ready for the show. Thanks again for your time.
All right.
Peace. Have a great interview with Seth. Yeah. Have a great week in drums. This is the Late Night Podcast with Ice-T and Will Dorsey Jr. Thanks for listening.
Our guest tonight is a hip-hop legend and talented actor you know from his work on Law & Order SVU. New episodes air Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. right here on NBC. Please welcome back to the show our good friend, Ice-T. Welcome back.
What's up, man? That's my drummer over there playing. Make some noise for Will.
That's right. This is... you know, usually the host has his own drummer, but this is the first time where the guest has had his own drummer.
Hey, man, love is love. Last time I was here, they talked to me. They said, would he sit in for a week? I'm like, we're not touring right now. He's here, man. That's what happens, man.
That's great. That's
beautiful.
Fantastic.
Thank
you. And you guys have worked together forever.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, you know, it's not every day they get to play on Seth's show.
No way. I agree
that's
with
what's
that.
Up.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Playing with Ice-T is one accomplishment, but playing
this
for
is
me,
another level.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
all- yeah. By the way, that clip, I want to talk about that clip real quick. I just introduced you. I don't think this has ever happened. You had a clip where you didn't even have a line.
I don't know. I get paid for facial expressions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But now, this is an episode that's coming up. It's the next new episode. It comes on Wednesday. Mariska does this crazy Emmy-type acting on there. It's very, very heavy show, and you shouldn't miss it. I'm kind of small in the episode because it's so much about Mariska, this episode.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I'm proud, man. 19 years on this show.
That's crazy.
You know?
I heard that at one point, because 19 years, like, patterns can develop. Obviously,
yeah.
Characters become known to the audience. And there was almost, there was a drinking game that then went away because the writers heard about it.
There's a bunch of stupid games that go along with SVU. I don't know. You know, the fans do their things. We love them to death, but they come up with all these different games. So every time Ice says this or says that, it's strange to me.
Yeah. Well, it's strange to me that, that you would watch a show about horrific crimes and think drunk. We should drink. Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
We should make a game of this.
I mean, the craziest thing for me, being on a show 19 years, like, if you're 20 years old, you were 1 year old when I started SVU. So you have no reference point to anything as far as music or anything I did prior to that. So it's very interesting to meet people on the street, and they go, you're a cop. And I'm like, I'm as far as you can get from a cop.
Well, that is true. I think that speaks to how life has second acts. Because you weren't even an actor before. You know, I knew you, obviously, as from musician, hip-hop and rap and a musician. And then you were in a few movies. I knew you first from New Jack City.
Yes.
But the first time you got paid for a part, like you actually got a paycheck.
Real check.
Real check.
Because New Jack City, I got like $23,000. I was the star of the movie, and I got what they call SAG rate.
You know?
So everybody thought I was rich, but I was still broke. I blew that dough. That didn't last. You know what I'm saying? After taxes, I was like, man, you know, I'm a movie star, but I'm a broke star. Like, what's cracking? And then I was making a movie with Keanu Reeves called Johnny Mnemonic, and he had just did the one with the Speed.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock. So I'm moving up the chain. I'm like, yo, this is cracking. I'm making things happen. And then I get a call to do a movie called Tank Girl. First they call me, they say, we want you to play a stripper in Arizona. A stripper.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, hell yeah. Hell yeah. So that night I did like 1,000 crunches. I was getting my thing, you know, getting it together, you know? And then the next day they sent me a picture of a kangaroo. I'm like, well, what am I, a stripper with a pouch? Like, what's cracking? Like, they said, no, you're a ripper. I'm like, the movie's called Tank Girl. I'm like, am I not with Keanu Reeves? Like, what a Tank Girl, kangaroo movies? Then they told me that I was gonna make over $1 million. I was like. You know, I call it what you will. I have nothing against kangaroos, so it wasn't a sellout.
And I will say, you were not lying when that was your role. That was $1 million right there.
That was, all that prosthetics was done by Stan Winston, one of the greatest who ever did it. You know, it was a huge, the budget was huge, and I wore those prosthetics. It took 3 hours to put on and 3 hours to take off every day.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your daughter just had a birthday. Happy birthday to Chanel.
Chanel's incredible. You know what I'm saying? I'm my baby girl. She's just turned 2 years old. She had a Paw Patrol birthday party.
Yes.
Yesterday.
She, following her father's footsteps of dressing like an animal she respects. Here's the invitation. What a fantastic, we need all the paws on us.
Yeah.
How was the party?
I mean, it was cool. You know, it's a kid's thing. And, I don't remember any of my birthdays. And I think, you know, when you're fortunate enough to be able to give your kids stuff you don't have. You know, we went out, had a good time. She got a bunch of toys and stuff. So it was good. Just, you know, you start to live through other people's happiness, you know. And I just seen her laugh, and she was with her brother who was out here. Now, her brother, Little Ice, who my fans know when he was a kid, he's now 26 years old.
Yeah, I just met him backstage. He's a grown man.
So she did hers at like a little playground thing, you know, play party thing. And he did his birthday at the strip club. So he's like, Daddy, there's a girl. And you put a dollar in her butt and it ripped. You know, it couldn't. I was like, oh, you had a good time.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope everybody's invitations went to the right house. Because you don't.
Well, he's out with his older sister, Tisha, who is like the ultimate wingman. Like, my daughter is the best person to be out in the club with if you out trying to pick up girls. Me and you married, but she goes in.
Yeah.
She walks over, she lies for you, everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so wonderful.
Hey, the apple don't fall far from the tree, you know?
I want to ask about a video you posted on Instagram. Your daughter has a way of traveling.
She invented it.
She invented it.
Yes.
Let's show a clip first, and then you can explain. This is her going down.
This is how we move through airports.
Chanel's VIP way of moving through hotels. Who needs a bellhop?
So how did she How did she come about riding the rolling?
We got the little rolling suitcase, and then she just figured a way. She saw it moving, and she just hopped on and got a ride. And now, like, when we go through airports or whatever, you see her, she just hangs on. Like, she loves it. She loves it, and she wants to, you know, she wants to do it all the time.
Yeah.
I couldn't. People like, you taught her how to do that. I'm too big to climb on a suitcase like that. How could I teach her?
Does she get excited then when you sort of pack up the suitcase to go on a trip? Does she know what it means now?
She doesn't, but the dogs do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Maximus does. You know, people out there that have dogs know. Max sits in the suitcase.
Yeah.
And they give you that look like, you know, you just feel so bad. You know, they got that look. You like, come on, man. Don't do this, man. Don't do this, man. You know, but, you know, we love them and, you know. Dogs love you like nobody else.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's true. Even when you have...
Oh, yeah, let me congratulate you. I heard you're about to have another baby.
Yeah, we're gonna have our second. Yeah.
How about that?
Very exciting. Really great.
Congratulations.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And we think our son knows it's coming, but, you know, it's too hard to tell.
Well, don't worry about it. You know, they say kids are like pancakes. You mess up the first few, so, you know. You're going to get it. This one, all the stuff you messed up on the first one, you'll get better on the second.
That's good to know. I'm going to start calling my oldest son Pancakes, and I'll say it's his nickname, and then years later, I'll say, why was it? And I'll say, let me tell you about iced tea.
Yeah. You get it right. You got it right this time.
So I want to, we mentioned New Jack City. That, the casting of that, this is one of those stories that's almost too good to be true.
Well, I got casted in a men's bathroom.
Okay.
Not like that. Nowadays, you say stuff like that, people jump all the way. Nah, I was in the bathroom, and I'm talking my craziness, and I said, you know, the problem is, I'm just ranting to somebody, if you could put me under a microscope and find one molecule in me that gave a F, then they could angle me. But they can't angle me because I don't care about anything, right? And the director, Mario Van Peebles, heard that and said, whoever said that is going to be the star of my movie. And he came out and he started a conversation, which I thought he was lying, but it resulted in me getting that role.
Wow.
Just talking crap in the crapper.
There you go. If there's anything that young actors take away, I hope it's that. Always such a pleasure to see you. Congratulations, season 19. Ice-T, everybody. Law & Order SVU is here. It's Wednesdays at 9 p.m. here on NBC. Thank you, buddy.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
Be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.